6 minutes past 11 o'clock. As I said in the beginning of the show, I'm always keen and open to critique and criticism. I am always willing to hear a well-penned or well-made comment. And a comment that we received earlier in the week, which I've been lingering over the last while, is about the Paralympics. How we've not, as a show, said anything about the Paralympics. And that is correct. You are very, very right. Over the course of the Olympics, we had dissected and we had asked questions about inclusivity, about representation. We interviewed winners. We interviewed losers. We interviewed former Olympians, people who represented South Africa at the Olympics. And we've not done the same for the Paralympics. And I'm very much open to have that unfiltered conversation of where particularly we as this show and where media in general falls short. And when it comes to content representing disabled individuals or the rights of disabled people, you know, we have what, a handful of interviews a year? And in that way, we invisibilize particularly people with disabilities. And we're very, very open to have those critiques, because how do we come up with the ideas that filter onto this show? Well, it's whatever in the mind or the mind's eye of the four people who make up this team of the Morning Review. It's whatever is in our periphery. What we read and what we consume, who our friends are, who we talk to, what comments come into the show. And that is what forms, what filters onto the show. And I want to reread a message that was sent in by Daniel. And Daniel asked, why is there no news about the Paralympics? My visually impaired sister-in-law, who is also an avid listener of Cape Talk, follows the Olympics and the Paralympics and is highly disappointed that although South Africa has won several medals, the news treats it like invalids are invalid. And that is a very, very important point. And so to open up this discussion and to provide some critique, but I think that is also very, very important. We've invited Alan Downey, is the Executive Director of Disability Info South Africa, as well as David Nhlapo, who is the founder of the I Am Victorious Foundation, also a disability rights activist. Alan, I'm going to start with you. I can admit that over the course of the last 2 weeks, we've featured no interview of anyone involved in the Paralympics. We've only heard during the time of 9 to 12 that we are on the show is when it's featured in Eyewitness News. I would contend that we would not be the only ones, and we'll go further than that, that once the Paralympics is over, South African media in general and South African society in general goes quiet, particularly when it comes to Paralympic sport.
Yes, you're correct. You're definitely not the only one. Thanks very much for having me on your show. That is the big problem. It's not just during the Paralympics that we need to be speaking about persons with disabilities and their issues and the achievements that they are able to achieve through sports, despite all the hurdles that we have with regards to financial difficulties and so on, and sponsorship, to be able to compete in some of these sports.
But we can't also just have this conversation and just isolate it to sports. We can talk about almost every facet of our society, of our communities, of our economy, where we tend to build cities and we build access and we structure the layouts of our offices very much excluding what disabled people may need to experience if they are entering these workplaces or our institutions or even simply just our shopping malls.
Yeah, exactly. The there's policies being put in place and white papers being written with regards to including persons with disabilities, but nothing's been enforced, and that is so frustrating. We still get on a daily basis people contacting us where they're not including people such as universal access consultants when it comes to designing buildings, which means architects are doing the design, but they're not understanding the full principles of designing accessibly, and so they're still making crucial errors when it comes to accessibility. The transport system is still very inaccessible, the public transport system, and private transport is very expensive for persons with disabilities, especially those using wheelchairs and scooters and so on. So sports does help to be able to open our eyes to all the other problems, such as if you get to a hotel and you're a sports team and there's only two or three accessible bedrooms with accessible bathrooms, what happens to that team of 10 or 15 players that are all use wheelchairs? Where do they stay? How do they fit into the three bedrooms that are available in the hotel? And their answer will be, well, we don't often get the teams visiting, so why must we make all our rooms accessible?
David Nhlapo is the founder of I Am Victorious Foundation, also a disability rights activist. If I were to look at the current Paralympic table in front of me, David, South Africa having a total of five medals, three golds, one silver, one bronze, in terms of doing much better, well, than the South African Olympic team, but yet not that much attention, even in terms of funding, return of investment for Paralympic athletes. How do you feel about this?
Thank you so much, Lester, for this opportunity. I mean, it's amazing what the stats are saying at this current moment, you know, compared to what the other team did previously, you know. I think this on its own, it's such a beautiful chapter. You know, though it lacks a media coverage, though it lacks a certain platform that could expose it even more. But you know, we talk about people who are physically challenged. You know, for them it's not only about winning the gold. For them it's not only about being in that podium at the stage. You know, it's beyond there. It starts from the time when they went through those physical challenges. You know, it started back when they went through tragedies. You know, some of the people, remember, were not born in those conditions. Some of them is just the tragedies that they happen to go through in life, you know. So imagine them showing their potential, showing their talent at a bigger scale like this. Surely this is a motivation itself. Surely this is inspiration itself. So it's very sad that, you know, there's no bigger platform. Our media is quiet with these beautiful stories. I mean, look at where we are right now. All that we need now are those inspirational stories, you know, to keep us going through. So if we don't invest on that, if we don't say hi, these are the things that society needs to know, you know, then we are being left behind, and we live in a world where we need inspiration at all cost.
The exceptional stories at the end of the day inspire us, but what about the normalcy of being disabled? There's often there's a question that the conversation group that I have, and then we ask, how many disabled people do you know? And this was part of a icebreaker conversation. And the question was very simply, how many disabled people do you know? And further more than that, how many disabled people do you have as friends? And that then makes you realize just how, when I travel through the world and I zip through spaces or I climb stairs, it was often without that understanding of what would this experience be like for a person that I know or a person that I am friends with who is disabled? And often I think we need to start there. If people who design buildings, design office spaces, design public transport models, ask themselves, how many disabled people do I know? That brings in a level of normalcy and understanding of the experience of disabled people.
Yeah, you're very right. Like, it's not on the ground. You know, it's not only a concern that you must have now that because of the Paralympics. It's a concern that each and everyone, especially people in power, people who can be able, people with resources, who can adjust the environment of disabled people and make it simpler. You know, your other guest was speaking about the transport issues that we're facing. So it's a lot. It's a lot. So I don't know if it's the stigma around the disabled community or our government is not doing enough, because I think that government can come with the laws of compliance, you know, that propel each and every person who's going to do it a certain business and say, hey, your business should allocate, you know, a space for disabled people. You know, a building, whether you buy a property for office space or whether you buy anything, you know, the government must come with that law and say, we can only approve you if your facility, you know, is compliant to it's accommodative to people with living with disability. I think it's something that can be done. If only that we can get that push from the people who are directing us, from the people who have power to do so. So it's a conversation that we can have, you know, for days. But really, I think that more needs to be done on that matter.
Taking your calls, taking your voice notes and your messages. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. Speaking to Alan Downey. He is of Disability Info South Africa. Also, David Nhlapo, who is a disability rights activist. He's the founder of the I Am Victorious Foundation. Opening us up, media in general, this show in particular, to when it comes to the critique of how we cover issues affecting disabled people, how we covered or have not even covered the Paralympics, because it's simply not in our frame of reference. It's something that, when we collate and put together the show, the issues of disabled people, because it just seems so far away from us, seemingly out of our periphery. And that is how I want us to frame this conversation. If we are understanding and if we are cognizant of the issues of homeless people, whether they be notable people, whether they be celebrities, whether they be athletes, or whether just be people in our families, or people in our buildings, or people who we see in the mall, in the street. How do we critique ourselves when we talk about how do we make life, how do we make things more accessible, but also give them the same exposure that we give to other able-bodied elite athletes? But let's go to a quick voice note. 072-567-1567. Let's have a listen.
I feel that they should get feedback from disabled people for example, disabled parking bays, for shopping centres, for hotels, etc. Get their feedback, what is difficult that a normal person wouldn't even think about. I think that's very important. I have 3 disabled friends.
Thank you so much for that little postcard. How many disabled people do you know? How many disabled people are your friends, you would consider your friends? And do you go through the world, through life, thinking how things and see how things are designed around them? When we talk about adding regulations and laws, they are helpful in a way, Alan, because they mold people's behavior to be more thoughtful. So if we have legislation that would put in writing certain accessibility issues, going into buildings, public transport issues, just our buildings and office setups are made, if we do have some of those regulations, they then change our behavior. And I think that is very, very important.
Yes. I mean, as I say, the regulations have been written, but unfortunately not enforced. So there's situations where there's still abuse of wheelchair or disabled parking, whereby somebody has used it just because they're going to run into the shop for 5 minutes. And the thing is, as long as there's no enforcement of that, people will carry on doing it because they don't understand the difficulties and the reasons for the accessible parking, the fact that the person in a wheelchair or scooter needs the extra space to be able to transfer out of their vehicle and into the wheelchair and then push themselves in the shop. It's not the fact that it's close to the shopping centre in any way. Mm. It's the fact that without that extra space, they will not be able to get out their vehicle and not be able to go and do their own shopping. Mm. And the fact that places aren't accessible and transport isn't generally accessible for many persons with mobility impairments and also visual impairments becomes a situation where persons with disabilities are not noticeable, because people will rather stay at home and do online shopping than go out to the shop and then battle to get into the shop because somebody else is parked in the accessible parking. Mm. So, or you might want to not go out to a nightclub because the nightclub's not accessible. Mm. So people don't notice people in wheelchairs or people with disabilities out in the public because it becomes too much of a problem to go out and be in public areas that aren't accessible, or you get to a bathroom and it's locked or somebody's using it to change. So it just becomes more of a hassle than it's worth. Mm. And unfortunately, that leads to people saying, oh, well, there's no people around with disabilities, I might as well just use the bathroom. Mm.
Ralph in Kells River, thanks so much for calling in. How are you doing?
I'm good, Lester. Thank you, and thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that, as any of you have seen in the newspapers, that Cape Town has applied for international marathon status. And one of the criteria is that you must include a wheelchair race before you can even apply. Yeah. So the world is applying pressure as well. At the same time, the writer in his financial report last night mentioned that Eskom has a key performance indicator which speaks about employment of handicapped people. So all these good things are happening, but I think leadership in business and in government should take this as an element to start thinking about legislating in many respects to make this world a better place for all of us, mm-hmm. including people that are handicapped. That's just my point. Ralph Peterson from Kelsover.
Thanks so much, Ralph. Really appreciate it. Let's go to another voice note here, 072-567-1567.
Hi, Lester. I'm disabled. I'm an amputee. I lost my left leg 22 years ago, and I wear a prosthesis, so I'm quite mobile. However, I do visit, I do most of my shopping at Kenilworth Centre, and I've noticed that able-bodied people park in those bays with impunity, especially those with big 4x4s, very expensive BMWs, very expensive Mercedes-Benz cars. They park in those bays and they don't give a hoot for people in wheelchairs and people that that are disabled. And from time to time, I've had confrontations with them. So I must try and urge all property owners or owners of shopping malls and shopping centres to ensure that they enforce the rule when it comes to disabled bay parking. They must clamp the wheels. They must, enforce it in such a way that people are going to learn and are going to be not to park there. Thank you very much.
David, we were talking about the inspiration and the exceptionalism that giving more airtime, giving more talk time, giving more columns in newspaper to our disabled athletes. And what does the achievements of Ntando Mhlanga in long jump have for a disabled child. What does the achievements of Hotatso Monjani when she plays tennis in a wheelchair have on the disabled child?
Look, you know, it's like I said, those are the beautiful chapters. You know, it gives hope to each and every disabled person at this moment. You know, I don't even want to like just to center it on the disabled person only, but to everyone, you know, to everyone. I talked about the stories behind that. I talked about the difficulties, the battles, the emotional battles that they had to go through, you know, to accept themselves the way that they are at this current moment. I'm talking about how they had to adopt, you know, their lifestyles. So those are the chapters that needs to be exposed so that each and every disabled person who sees those stories can have hope and say, you know what, okay, I'm in this situation at the moment, but my life is not over. There are still things that I can achieve, you know, with this body. You know, there are people who think that if you don't have legs, you can't live anymore, of which is not true. I always say that the most important organ that one has is a mentality, the mindset. You know, so those things are very beautiful stories, a beautiful thing that needs to be exposed and that needs to be told. You know, and Lester, you know, I have a problem with the whole event, the whole setup of the Olympics. You know, I really don't understand why do we have to have a different events, you know, because that's where the problem is as well. Because you have the mainstream media covering the first event, and then after now you have the Paralympics, which are not, they don't get so much coverage. But I think if we can include, you know, all this thing, we have an inclusive tournament, then it can work wonders. You know, it can lessen the stigma that is around disability, and it can be done. Remember, Olympics, it takes you 4 years to prepare for Olympics. You know, so for those who are bidding to have this event, you know, like I said, it can be done that they say, okay, the next coming event, maybe not the next coming, but in 10 years, we want to have an inclusive event. You know, imagine if you have your event of 100 meters, you know, being watched by the whole world, and you have disabled people with to cut and race for that event. Imagine what it can do. Imagine the mainstream media. Imagine the impact that it can reach, you know, because it's not everybody who follows Paralympics. People just concentrate on the Olympics, and after that, it's done. But if you can have them both, you know, then I think it will work wonders within our communities.
Alan, it's also about representativity, and I'm very happy that sometimes when I put on the television at different times of the day on the public broadcaster, there are TV shows that particularly speak to issues affecting disabled people. And at the end of the day, when we say that representativity matters, that's what we mean. Representativity matters. It's being that example. It's seeing young disabled people seeing themselves on TV, seeing themselves in mainstream publications, mainstream movies, films, etc. And that then is important.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, the fact is that people, if you're not showcasing what they're able to do, and the fact of where they got to be able to get to that stage, to be able to overcome daily battles of being able to take up a sport, and never mind actually excelling at that sport, you know, when it's difficult to even manage to find one meal a day, and yet you're still able to your family sacrifices to be able to get you a sports wheelchair or get you to an event, and maybe that event's not always accessible. And what they go through to be able to just get to that point that they are able to partake in a sport, never mind get to the stage where they're able to get to the Paralympics.
Yeah.
And I do agree in one way about with regards to combining the events, just having spoken to a number of people, the logistics of having doing that is very difficult with regards to the amount of hearers and so on that are part of the Paralympic team, which means that less sportsmen are able to actually attend the event because they need the space for the carers and the assistants.
Mm.
So that's another problem where sportsmen are left out because they don't have the extra space for the carers, which obviously are a big part of the team to be able to assist the athletes as well.
Alan Downey, founder and executive director of Disability Info South Africa, and David Nklapo, founder of I Am Victorious Foundation. Thank you so much. Enlightening conversation. Hopefully we learn from these critiques. Thank you so much for joining us.